Okay, hi, I'm Beth.
And I'm Jennifer.
And this is 411 Child. So, you probably have noticed we're trying really hard to post once a week now.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. So
happy.
We've done our back-to-school podcast, so we thought, what else could we do that might be of use to all of you? And we thought, well, what do you need more for the beginning of going back to school than a laugh?
Oh, absolutely. Well, yeah, for the first week or two, that's all you want is a laugh.
Or maybe something a little along the lines of adult beverages, yeah. But we won't be serving that. So I thought I would share a few of my stories about going back to school, but not as a student. I have some, well, they're kind of embarrassing, but, you know, I'll tell them anyway. Funny stories about being a teacher. So I'll start. When I was a substitute, which was really my first year out of school, I've never told you the story. I was a substitute up in this place called Burlville, and it's in Rhode Island. It's way up in the middle of the woods. I mean, it sounds as distant as it is.
Yeah,
Burlville. And I lived in Providence, so for anyone who knows anything about Rhode Island, that's about a 40 to 50 minute drive. And but that's fine. I mean, I'm going from pretty much one end of the state to the other, which tells you how small the state is. So, but anyway, so I got this call to come out and be a substitute, and I was so excited because we really needed the money.
Yeah.
And I hopped in my tiny little car, and I headed up for Burlville. I get about, I don't know, maybe about 10 minutes away from where the school, I thought the school was. Now remember, this is before we had GPS anything like that, so I had a map.
Yeah.
And I really had to go to the bathroom. No, I seriously did. And in most places, you can find a McDonald's, you can find a, I couldn't find anything. And I'm telling you.
Oh, that's not good.
And I had been drinking coffee because I'm so nervous about. So anyway, so I finally find the high school. That's right, my first substitute experience.
Oh,
I mean, my very first. Hello, my name. Okay, I show up at the high school office, legs crossed, and as the lady's talking to me, I put down my bag and I excused myself and literally ran to find the restroom. I think she thought I was going because I was like so nervous or something. I came back, I was really embarrassed, but of course feeling better. And I got my assignment. So she handed me a folder. I wasn't about to admit this was my very first time substituting ever. Handed me a folder and said, "Miss Tanellan, that's very nice," and off you go. And I went to the classroom. I opened up the folder to find that I would be teaching sex ed.
No.
To juniors.
Ugh.
Who are all taller than I was. And half of them looked older than I was. And, I'm reading through the instructions, and I'm going to be teaching reproductive health, which meant that there had to be the reproductive organs shown in the classroom.
Oh.
I pulled down, you know, those old pull-down, like, maps.
Yeah.
I pulled it down, and there it was, in all of its glory. On one side, male genitalia, on the other side, female. I swear, I blushed. I must have been 1,000 like shades of red. Now it wouldn't bother me in the least, but back then I was so embarrassed. So in comes my first class. I look down and I have these worksheets I'm supposed to hand out, and which it was the first time ever that I was happy to have worksheets. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I write my name on the board and I'm trying to take roll. They've all switched seats and changed their names, because I look like I'm 5 and and I realize, like half the kids are in class. Yeah. I have no idea where the other half are.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure how to report that they're not there. And so I begin. And I take out, like, a pointer. And I didn't have I was trying to write on the podium at the same time. I had the pointer in my hand, and I apparently was pointing right at the, at a big penis. Everybody starts laughing. I turn around, turn even brighter red. Yeah, and so the day went like that. I'm sure word got out very quickly that a young sub who had no idea what she was doing and so second period rolls around, the juniors leave, and the senior class comes in. I didn't have any directions for them. I had no idea what they were supposed to be learning. All it said was seniors. Yeah. Oh, so gracious. I think, I don't know, I taught them something about stress or something, but I did realize that probably 3/4 of the seats were empty. Round about 20 minutes into the lesson, a window opens, a classroom window, we were on the first floor, opens. Yeah. And in comes a pair, like a leg, comes into the class, followed by a body, followed by a head, followed by another leg, another head, another body, and a gigantic cup of coffee. Yeah, the boys told me they went to get me coffee because they knew I was having a rough day.
Oh.
I want to point out that they were cutting class. Hey.
She decided to come in the window.
So I guess that this is the point now where I should stop and apologize to any parents in the Burrillville School District who had a child in 1988 in school. I wasted their health class because I... At the end of the day, I had to do everything I could not to cry. And I went to the office, and I took my attendance, and I apologized. And nobody... I think I apologized to the custodian. I don't even know who it was. I'm very sorry.
Very sorry.
As I'm trying to apologize for all of this, the administrative assistant came chasing after me, and just to confirm that I would be there for the rest of the week. I hadn't received that assignment. You should have seen me. I was the happiest person in the world. I had earned my very first substitute paycheck, and I'll never forget it. It was $75, and I have to tell you, that was way more than I earned as a regular teacher in my first job.
Wow. That's bizarre, isn't it?
And that, by the way, was my very first day substituting. It was the first day of school.
Wow. Well, you know, it's hard. I mean, back at our school where we used to teach, one day, I was in seventh grade at the time, and so I had last period free. So they said, you know, the teacher across the hall, she needs to leave early today. Can you just cover her last period class? I'm thinking, oh, yeah, no big deal. Last period class, what do I have to do? But, you know, they're packing up. They're, you know, no, they're doing fractions in math.
Oh,
and if you've met me, you know that's not a good thing. And so I walk into sixth grade math. I'm thinking, well, nobody said this. I was... And I opened that book, and it might as well have been Greek to me. I know they were so confused by the end of the 45 minutes. Look, he wants to do what for homework? I'm like, I don't know. Just come in tomorrow, and hopefully the teacher will.
I do want to point out now for any of our clients who are listening that Jennifer knows how to fractions, and she knows how to teach them.
No, so. You know what it is that when you're just thrown at it,
yes,
like you with sex ed, I'm sure you know the sexual reproductive organs. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I do understand.
In sixth grade, I'm going, oh, my.
No, I totally understand, because then for the next, like, 4 or 5 months of that year, I had to substitute.
Oh,
and I was walking into every imaginable class, every... Did I ever tell you about the kindergartner who broke me?
No.
He made me be broken. There's just really no other way to say it. Here I am, a grown-up teacher, and, you know, my very first year of teaching, and because we had moved to Rhode Island from Maryland, I didn't have a chance to get a job, so here I am as, you know, super sub, and I went into the East Greenwich school system, and I was offered a long-term sub job, and I snatched it up because I wanted to go to the same place and do the same thing, and it was in music.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, it was actually instrumental music, but I also was given a kindergarten general music class. Now, if you recall, you and I worked together, and I had a kindergarten counseling class. Yeah. I don't do well with kindergartners. Anyway, so as kindergarten class, it was my first day at East Greenwich in the sub position. I was told that I had to take them into the gym. I had to have general music in the gigantic, empty gym. Now, what do children do in gymnasiums?
Scream.
And?
Run.
Yes. And that's precisely what they
normally at the same time
are going to do. And that's exactly what they wanted to do. And so I finally got the rest of them all calmed down, except for this one little boy. One little boy would not. And he got up, and he ran around, and he'd holler. He's just top of his lungs screamed while the rest of them sat in a circle around me. And so we tried to sing songs with this child running around crying. I didn't know what else to do. I had no skills. I had no skills back then.
I just knew
that you weren't supposed to cry in front of the kids. That was pretty much my only skill. And
so true.
And I just knew if I could just make time go fast, which I couldn't. Anyway, when I finally made him come sit down next to me, no, I did not pick him up. He announced to the class, "I hate you."
Oh.
Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah. And I was, you know, just turned 22.
That's terribly upsetting, though.
It was really upsetting. Well, anyway, apparently I had a battle with this child for the rest of the year, and all he did was he walk into music in the gymnasium, announce that he hated me, and run around for the next 45 minutes screaming. I told the office, I told the teacher, I asked for help, and everybody's sort of like, "Oh, he's fine. It'll be okay.
Just clock him and see how fast he goes today."
I remember standing there and I said, "But I'm not fine." I tried everything I could think. And then you know how I am. I, like, tried to reason with him one day. Now, again, this is me past all, before all my graduate degrees and experience. Yeah. I actually tried to reason with him one day with, "I'm paid to be here, and you're not, and so you should listen to me." He's 5 years old, running around, probably some deep psychological problem that completely ignored, and all I wanted to do was not cry. I used to, every Wednesday, I'd wake up and say to myself, "I'm going to this job and I'm not going to cry in kindergarten class, and then I can go about my day."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
It's harsh. The first day I taught, I mean, I was an elementary ed major. Fifth grade and under, and preferably third grade and under, but not preschool because they're scary. And, you know, somewhere in between there, I'm thinking, that's what I want. Seventh grade was who hired me. I walked in there that first day. First off, I had no idea how to set up a classroom, because you are not taught that.
No one teaches you that. I had no idea either.
Nobody teaches you how to make a schedule and, you know, what you're supposed to do with desks. And, yeah, they make you plan your classroom when you're in college, this phantom classroom that probably you have, you know, $20,000 worth of equipment in.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know. You're like, "I want this and that." So, yeah, I had set up this wacky... My whole world was wacky. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know if what I was doing was right. On top of that, I was starting out in a classroom for 2 days, and the new classrooms were going to be done. So then I had to move my entire classroom about 50 feet across the hallway into my new seventh grade classroom. I stood in front of those kids. They're like huge, big kids, 35 of them staring at me. My face was beat. I know it was, because my blood pressure was up. My face was beat red. I was thinking, they don't like my hair. They're looking at me like I'm that old, stodgy teacher. I never wanted to be that. And it was awful. And there was like 3 kids in the back, and I swear were plotting my death. No, they weren't. They were very sweet. Actually, one of them is my friend on Facebook now. But that's besides the point. It was like a scene. I'm like, It's awful when you're thrown into those situations.
I don't think parents really can appreciate the terror that we had as young teachers going into our first classrooms.
And your first open house night.
See, I never had to do that. I just was the one who was in the empty room waiting for a parent who wanted to come talk to me, perhaps.
I just babbled. I know the parents were looking at me like, "She is a moron." Yeah, and then I had one mom walk up at the end and go, "Are you old enough to teach?"
No, but thanks for asking.
I'm 22. I don't know. Do you think that's old enough? I don't know.
Oh, God.
But I did. I just...
Are you old enough to teach?
Yeah. And the other funny one was the second time I was pregnant. I had my first open house, and I announced it to the parents that I was, you know, I don't know.
With child?
Wasn't that far along, so maybe 10, 12 weeks. And one of the mothers, like, gets this mean look on her face, and she sits back, and I'm thinking, oh, is she, like, mad? And I realized that I had taken maternity leave with her oldest child, and now I was going to be taking maternity leave with her youngest. I didn't. All I said was, I laughed and said, "We must be on the same schedule." What do you do? Sorry.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
Yeah. Oh, parent night.
I know. Well, and I remember, parent nights for me were always very different than what you all had to go through. And, but I do remember having, years ago, my very first marching band practice out on the field. And we had to have it after school. The parents had to bring them. It was 5 o'clock because that was the only time we could get on the field.
Wow.
And I was in a very small town in Rhode Island, and the parents were incredible. I mean, we had everybody played an instrument. Every parent was really pretty much behind the program.
Yeah.
It wasn't just me. I was just we had two elementary teachers, and we had this gigantic, it was amazing. But anyway, I do remember, we make mistakes, right? We all make mistakes. And one of the problems with your teacher, especially like I was, where I had... I had 200 students. You make one mistake and you can easily mess up the lives of 200 people.
Yes. Yeah.
So apparently I sent out I was teaching in three different schools and I sent out two different times for rehearsals.
Oh no.
Yes. Oh. And so in two schools I sent out one time and another school it was another time. It simply was my mistake. It was a typo. And so I ended up with one school of kids there at 5, wondering where the rest of our band was. I began, and at 5:30, everyone else showed up. The parents were furious with me because, back then, everybody was, vigilant. Everybody wanted them to be a band. They wanted, it was very competitive, and, they wanted to know why I saw that school first. And so they surrounded me on the field. And, I'm not very big.
Right.
I had parents coming at me literally from all sides, hollering at me.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, about being disorganized and all that. And it really was, that was the only mistake I had made like that, was that one, announcement. And I don't know that parents... or students, quite frankly, have any compassion for their teachers in that sense, that we are oftentimes on the firing line.
Yeah.
That, the first time I was laid off, was my very first year of teaching my own job.
Okay.
And so it was my second year of teaching, 89. And I got a pink slip because, if anyone is old enough to remember, 89, 90, 88, all that area was very bad economically.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
So I was going to have a pink slip, and I was told by the superintendent that I would be hired back, that all I had to do was get enough parents to go to the school committee meeting to holler for my job. Well, I had to do that for the next nine years.
Ooh.
And, one year we just brought our kids. We just brought
there
the kids. Like, you want to cut
there
these kids?
Yeah.
But anyway, so... I was grocery shopping. Now, first of all, I didn't just get one pink slip. I got four. I got one at each school, so three schools, plus one sent to my house.
Oh, look.
And I got them all in one day. It was,
jeez.
I was devastated because, young teachers are so excited.
Yeah.
I was on fire. I mean, just on fire. So I, oh my gosh. So I, I went home dejected, just really dejected. Had to go grocery shopping, went back out. I have to mention, it was in this, there was snow. It was up in Rhode Island and in New England. We had a lot of snow. I had to go back in the snow to go grocery shopping. Got into the grocery store, and some older woman took her grocery cart and rammed it into mine.
Oh.
And proceeded to holler at me about how the school budget was my fault somehow, because she recognized me as being the band director, and apparently... I was worth all of the school budget.
Okay.
When she finished, all I could say to keep from getting extremely angry, and really I was scared because I was young, I said was, I'm very sorry. However, I potentially am going to lose my job. I said, so the bread and the milk and that you're buying, I won't be able to buy next year.
Mm.
And I turned around, walked away, and I cried. I used to cry a lot when I was young.
I'm starting to realize this.
Baby. I never cry now. Well, I'm a big baby.
I cry now. But that's okay. Oh, wow.
I know.
I've never been confronted by a parent in a grocery store. So that's...
Attacked. She literally took her cart and rammed it. I couldn't go anywhere.
Wow.
I could not go anywhere.
I mean, I've had those in the school hallway, but never like that. Wow.
Do you have any good parent stalking stories? Have you been?
My funniest one. I don't know if I've told this yet, because it is my funniest one. Was the bad year. It was my worst year with parents. I don't know why. I still don't know what the whole issue was. I mean, I know it was about textbooks, but I'm still not.
Yeah.
I just think there was that group mob thing, and they all got together, and they were just feeding off of each other, but then that's fine, whatever, you know. You move on, and they're, you know, so. But, yeah, this one morning, our principal came about me in my classroom. She's like, come on, come here, come here. And what's going on? She goes, leave Mrs. Grimes in there, and you come. And I'm like, okay. So I walk down the hallway, and my aide's back in the class with the kids, and walk into her office and thinking, oh, geez. Am I, like, I'm, because I was in trouble all the time that year, and I'm like, am I a troubling kid? And she points outside her windows to the parking lot. It is raining outside. And there's this group of my parents in a little huddle with umbrellas over their heads. And they're all... So she points and she starts laughing. And she's like, look. You know? It's like, oh my gosh, in the rain. In the rain with the lightning and thunder. Are talking about me. It's like, wow.
And you know, they don't... Here's what I think. I think it's a lot like... sending an email. Like, I have college students who do this.
Yeah.
They don't realize there's a human on the other end.
That's exactly it.
That is exactly it. I think a lot of times that parents don't realize there's a human on the other end of those emails, of those stalking events, of
the, same
the complaints.
Thing. Well, the same class, there was a mom in the hallway one morning, and where was I? I was, like, in the library with the kids or something. We were not in our classroom, and I heard about this third hand. That she was walking up and down the hallway just very loudly talking about what a horrible teacher I was and a horrible human and apparently should not walk the face of the planet. And so I heard about that. I was like, what did I don't even know what I did this time. I don't know what I did this time. And so I called her to find out. I thought I was finally done. I'm like, what's going on that you guys don't like me? I don't get it. So I called her, and it was something minute issue to do with a book that we were reading. It was just something that she had blown very much out of proportion. And so I asked her on the phone, I said, well, you're a real estate agent. I said, how would you like me to walk up and down in front of your real estate office telling everybody about how you messed up one line in a contract for me?
Good for you.
And she said, oh, yeah, I wouldn't like that. I said, it's kind of the same thing. I said, I'm trying my best, and you're trying your best. And, you know, somewhere we have to come in the middle. You know, I know you love your child, and I want him to succeed, and that's kind of,
But what do we, what did we used to always say? Really? Would I come to your work and holler at you about something that I don't perceive you doing well? And, you know, it's so hard sometimes. Now, of course, I do have to tell everyone that as you become a seasoned teacher, those things don't bother you anymore.
No, they don't. They still happen.
They still happen, but they don't bother. No. Now I know how to handle, you know, all of those situations.
Yeah. I think this was my third year teaching, so it was the year I got married.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny, because then this is the same class. You know, you make your wedding registry and you're
So excited. Wait a minute. They're the ones that threw that gigantic shower for you.
Yes.
And they got you all those really nice gifts. In fact,
everything on the registry.
I remember because we threw one for you.
Yes. And all that was left was the little stuff.
Right.
Like the pizza board and the pizza cutter.
I think we got you a baby carriage though. Didn't we get you a big baby carriage or something? Well,
no,
it doesn't matter.
I don't think so. They got me stuff for the baby shower later, but yeah, I'll never forget it. They surprised me with a bridal shower. And to be honest with you, that year was so bad, and this was in March. Well, it would have been end of February. I knew they were going to surprise me about 10 minutes before they surprised me. And I actually said to a teacher and an aide in our school that I didn't want to go. Because I was so afraid of this group of parents that I was like, I don't want to go. I said, because they're all in there. There was 30 parents, moms, all the moms who planned it, and both third grades. So 70 kids. And then I got home from work and I called John. I'm like, hey, I need you to come in the parking lot. He's like, why? What are you talking about? I had a shower thrown for me today.
You couldn't bring it all home.
I couldn't get it all inside the house. He had to bring his dollies.
That's right, the dolly, yeah.
Which took three trips to get it all in. And I'm like, it was bizarre. I don't know. Maybe by that point, I had worn them down. I don't know. Well, with kindness.
But it is, you know, what? That is the funniest thing of all, I do have to say, because that same year that the parents surrounded me, and I really, it was almost like they had pitchforks.
Yes.
It was that same year that, it was the same as you, that we got a standing ovation in our gigantic concert at the end of the year. Yeah. All the parents who had, you know, wanted to skewer me that day.
Yeah, we're very happy.
Oh, very happy. Yeah. Very happy.
It's all in the moment. I know that a lot of it is just in the moment. And they're your kids, so you love them. And I know if somebody goes against my kids,
And see, that's the thing, is that I think parents should know this, that most teachers actually really do understand, because most teachers are parents, too. Yeah. And, you know, I don't think I've told this story on our podcast, but I know I've told you that how funny it was for me in our old school, where one teacher had a child in another teacher's room, and then that same teacher had a child in that other teacher's room.
Yeah.
So it was like Mrs. X had her son in Mrs. Y's class, and Mrs. Y had her class and Mrs. X's child in Mrs. X's class.
Yeah.
And they each would come to my office separately to complain about the other teacher, and then leave my office, and I'd die laughing. I even told you about that whole year it happened. It was hilarious.
I know.
And now they're best friends. And
yes, they are.
It is hilarious.
It is. I mean, and that was hard, too, having teachers' kids is hard. You know, other teachers in the school. Oh, boy. Yeah, because you never know. I mean, they're right there all the time. I mean, I've had kids go tattletale on me in the middle of the day. Well, she yelled at me for not doing that. You know, and have a parent come over, or the teacher come over.
It's just wrong.
Oh, boy.
It's just wrong.
It's hard. Oh, my gosh. It's too funny. But we are all human. I mean, you know, I want the best for every child I ever taught. I wanted the best for, you know. But I made mistakes. And, you know, some years I ended the year and I went, well, God, I could have taught that better, or I could have whatever. And, you know, I think it's the same for everybody in their job. I mean, how many of us have put a project away and said, oh, I should have done that better?
Do you have any funny field trip stories?
Oh, well, my funniest field trip story was my last field trip story.
Mm-hmm.
9 months pregnant was the last one. Ybor City.
Oh, no.
Which, for those of you that don't live in the Tampa Bay area, it's a historic area of Tampa Bay. Basically, Tampa started in the Ybor City area. It's a cigar manufacturing city. So we go there. We've gone there for 3 or 4 years in a row. And a lovely parent would plan it for us every year. And we'd end at the Columbia restaurant.
Oh, yes. Love that restaurant.
Well, the problem is that Ybor City has become quite the
party place?
Nighttime spot. So there's bars and a few gentlemen's clubs in that area. Well, I was 9 months pregnant, and there were 70 third graders, so we were going to the Columbia. This was the last part
of
the
walk. That's just funny, just by itself. Picture of you.
Especially when they tell me I have to walk like 6 blocks. I'm like, really? I'm going to go into labor on the field trip? This is not a good plan. So they put me in front. We're going to go as fast as Miss Connell can walk. That's what they told the kids. So off I waddled. And I was waddling. And I waddled. And all the kids are behind me. Two girls' line, boys' line. So like 35 in each line all the way back. And we're getting up. And I'm looking at the signs. And I'm like, ooh, I don't want them to, you know, there's pictures on the window that I don't want them to see. So we're walking along. And I stopped. And I went, look at what's over there. Look, oh, look at that historic building as we walk past this strip club. Look at there. As we get past it, all I hear are the teachers' moms behind me dying laughing as I'm trying to keep 70 kids from looking in the window. Look over there. Then we get to the Columbia and they discover that they get free Cuban bread.
Oh, no.
The Cuban bread is free.
That bread is incredible.
And the waiters will bring you more.
Oh, no.
Some of those kids ate like a loaf and a half of Cuban bread.
Goodness.
It was, oh. And then they got their food. They're looking at their food. They're like, oh. I think they thought maybe the Cuban bread was lunch. I'm not really sure. They're funny. But they never underestimate kids. Because we walked into a room with crystal on the tables.
Uh-huh.
Real plates, linen napkins, tablecloths. The 3-4 years we went, never a broken glass, never a spilled glass, nothing. They would sit there like little gentlemen and little ladies, and they would eat their lunch. But yeah, me waddling down 7th Avenue, trying to keep them from looking at the strip club.
See, you have a good field trip story. I've got a pretty funny one that We used to take kids to the Boston Pops from our town because, well, the idea was that we were in a sort of a lobster.
Yeah.
Our town was very small, 3,000 people. And
wow.
So very small. It's four elementary schools, middle school, high school. And so fathers were either lobstermen or they were college professors. It was sort of that.
Okay.
Or they were a teacher. It was sort of, you know, that.
Yeah.
And one of those towns. And so, because the University of Rhode Island actually is right in the town.
Okay.
So I don't even remember how many years, I think we did it for like 8 years or something, that we decided the best thing to do was to figure out a way to take all of our kids to the Boston Pops every year so that we could expose them to classical music live. So that,
great.
Yeah, and it really was.
Yeah.
And so anyway, but can you imagine the nightmare? There were three music teachers who always did this. Of course, we had parents who came with us, and we took all of the kids in elementary band. Well, that turned out to be basically the entire fifth and sixth grade,
wow,
pretty much, class of the entire town.
Yeah.
And so we took those we didn't even take them school buses. We took them in those nice, you know, buses, the tour buses.
Yeah.
So the very first time we took them up there, I was scared to death because I had taken kids on field trips to play at other schools.
Yeah.
That was about the extent of my field trip experience. And here we were going from South Rhode Island all the way into Boston, city of Boston.
Yeah.
Plus, we found a place for them to eat a picnic because it was in the spring, And so now I'm getting scared because we're actually going to have to move them across, busy Boston streets and stuff. So.
Jeez.
Anyway, I have to say, we had really good kids, so the very first time we went, we moved all the kids fine, no kids got lost, they behaved themselves, until we got to our seats. Now, this was crazy, because it was a school day where, like, everybody who came was a school child.
Yeah, okay.
And we had taught our band students to be very competitive and very proud of our band and all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we got them into our balcony seats, and I got up to go to the restroom and take some girls with me to the restroom. So we go down the balcony, we go downstairs, and all of a sudden I hear, as I'm going into the restroom, I can't say the name of the town, but the name of our town rocks. The name of our town rocks, and the kids were all, like, cheering in the auditorium.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, and all the other the schools were quiet, and ours just started cheering as if, like, it was some sort of competition.
Oh,
I could not have been more embarrassed in my life, and I came out of the restroom with the girls, and, the other two music teachers were there, and they were seasoned teachers. They had taught. But still, we had a lot of kids, and and we had, like, 300 kids with us, and they were all, I'm trying to get back up there, and it was sort of the manager of the house came to find me and pulled me aside and told me pretty much that if I didn't get those kids quiet within the next minute, we were going to have to leave.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my goodness.
So it was sort of one of those notes to self on the way home. Teach them concert manners before we go. We had done everything but that.
That. Yeah. Oh, see, that, you got to do everything one time.
They did everything else right. Like when we got back in the buses, they were really confused. They said, but we didn't spit over the balcony. We didn't drop gum. I was like, well, yes, and good for you.
Who knows?
But there's no cheering inside of Symphony Hall. One does just not do that. It just isn't done.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I worked for that before an after-school program one summer, so it was summer camp time. So, and then they discovered that I was certified the state of Florida, so then, you can take all the field trips everywhere they need to go. No, I don't want to do that, but okay. We were going to Bishop Moore Planetarium down in Bradenton, and get on the bus, and here we go with my 70-some kids, me and, two or three other chaperones. It wasn't a lot of people. We get there, and they were horrible. Did not know how to act in a museum. Touching, running, just really not acting right. So this was the first time I'd gone by myself with them on a field trip. They filed back on the bus, and I had already talked to a couple of counselors. I said, I'm going to have to lay into them. But I said, I don't like doing that. Everybody knows that. I'm not a yeller.
No, you're not.
So I steeled myself. I got on the bus. This is a long. We were in Pinellas Park. So,
oh,
it was a 40-some, 45-minute drive home.
Yeah.
So I got on the bus and I said, we do not. And I listed the following things that they had done. I said, what we do do in a museum. And I listed the other things on the other hand. And I said, and because of that, I don't want to hear a noise on the way back. Miss Jennifer's yelling at us. What is that about? They had no clue. They were dead silent all the way across the Sunshine Skyway, all the way home. In single file, I traipsed them back into the summer camp, and our director's looking at me like, what happened? I said, they need to go write apology letters to the Bishop Moore Planetarium. And they did. But you know what? The next week we went, and everybody was perfect. I was like, lesson learned.
You know,
before you go, there's museum etiquette, theater etiquette, aquarium etiquette.
That's a lot of rules.
Put your hands in the water. Zoo etiquette. Don't throw straw wrappers at the kid.
It's a lot of rules. That's the problem. It's a lot of rules.
And every place is different.
You know what I just figured out? You and I are single-handedly responsible for all the bad things that have ever happened at school.
I mean, I only taught for 9 years. Can you imagine the stories that seasoned, like, 25, 30 years?
I know, my good friends. I know. I did 14 years in schools, but that was about it. And but now, someday I'll share my college stories. But I think for now,
you have some hysterical.
I do have some good ones. I think for now, though, we've given you enough to lift up your week and get you ready for week two.
Oh, geez, is it only week two
of school? Yes. So have a fantastic week, and we'll see you next week.